Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking Pollocks. It's a very special episode. An episode that we've had to split into many different episodes because it was so long and we did many talkings for our manifesto special. We're going to be splitting the policy areas up, making it a little bit easier for you to read. Might be a little bit of a delay between the episodes coming out, but hey-ho, at least you'll have a few more episodes to listen to this week. Thank you for your understanding. Open your ear canals and start listening, baby. Ready?
I am, yeah.
Let's go. Woo! Welcome to Talking Pollocks, Manifesto Destiny, Episode 5. Today, coming to you live from the surface of the sun.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Sean's here too, as always.
Hey, everyone.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. How are you?
Hot.
It's very warm today, and this office does cook.
It does, yeah. We need aircon.
We do, and we need it quick.
Yeah, forgive us if we're a little bit out there today. It's hot. What is it in here currently? It's 26 degrees in here currently. So,
we're 30 seconds in, and so far Chris has said the word hot 4 times.
Yeah, did I say it's hot? Because it's hot.
Oh, did you also know that Keir Starmer's dad is a toolmaker?
No, that's news to me. I didn't know that. That is new information that
new
I've
information.
Just learned
Never
about.
Never heard that before, no.
Okay, Manifesto Destiny, Episode 5, I think.
It is Episode 5.
Episode 5. Housing.
Housing.
We said that we were going to do this Episode 3, but we didn't. We decided to do social care instead.
That was Episode 4.
Numbers. Numbers turning into sweet wax in my ears.
Yeah. Your brain's turning to mush, isn't
it? Yeah.
Absolute mush.
And I don't have a drink, which is even worse.
Oh, no.
I might have to go and get a drink. In the middle of the podcast, but it's fine because we're radio mics, so we can go wherever we like.
We can.
Right then, housing. Big issue. People can't afford rent. Your rent doesn't go towards your credit rating. Nobody can afford a mortgage. And people that have got mortgages can't afford the new mortgages thanks to the lettuce. I mean, Liz Truss. So, housing. What are they going to do? Who's going to do it? Why are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? Sean, tell us.
Well, they're probably not, let's be honest. Let's start with this opening statement.
Okay, go on then. Opening statement me.
The political parties, it's how when it comes to housing, they all know it's unprotected spending. And as we all know,
stop right there. What the fuck is unprotected spending?
So when the government has obviously lots of spending across many different areas of government.
Yes.
Certain areas are protected, so
under our constitution, in air quotes.
Under the government's rules and legislation and that, yes.
Okay.
So things like the NHS, that is protected spending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course it is.
They can cut money from it, though, willy-nilly.
No, they can't. It's protected spending. That's
interesting.
And there's lots of things like that. So defence and education, that's all protected spending.
Should we start somewhere really weird? Let's start with reform. Why not?
With reform, okay.
Yeah. Nice. How you doing?
Yeah, so as this is unprotected spending, we all know they're going to be making cuts, so none of this is probably going to really actually happen in full. So,
brilliant. So they're empty promises then.
They are pretty much they'll work towards them. They're more goals than promises.
So what Sean is saying is that this whole episode is pointless.
No. Because you need to know what the goal is going to be.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's important that you pick the right goals, isn't it? Mm. Regardless of whether you're going to hit them or not.
All right then, Nige, what you got for us?
Well, he wants to start off by reviewing the planning system.
Good shout.
So this is
I agree with that.
This is a very odd place to start reform. So the main all of the parties are saying we're going to build a certain amount of houses per year. That's not really that doesn't really feature in reform's contract. They don't give a target of how many houses they're going to meet, but their policies really are looking at more encouraging houses to be built, rather than saying we're going to mandate that this many houses need to be built, we're going to try and encourage houses to be built privately. That's what it seems to me.
Okay, so rather than giving, like, you know, the Balfour Beattys and the Mansells and Skiptons and the big housing development companies the money, Nigel's just like, ah, with all these tax breaks, anyone can afford to build a house now.
Well, no, it's not that. It's probably going to benefit the big companies even more so. You know, they're the ones that can actually afford to go out and build 300,000 houses a year.
To be fair, I put my hand up like in school.
Yeah.
Question. I mean, more of a statement, really.
Right.
We do have a shortage of housing in this country. That's a fact.
Yes. Okay.
I think that the planning system is one of the biggest hurdles.
Don't get me wrong, there are...
But there's reasons why they're in place.
There are flaws within the planning system. However...
As with any system.
However, as we'll come on to discuss later, there should be certain areas that are protected. The Green Belt.
Yeah.
Should be protected land. No houses should be built on it.
Yeah.
Because it's a green space, we need to keep it.
Yeah.
So we can't just go and rip up planning laws and say, okay, build houses wherever you want. Whee! Well,
yeah, no, I understand that, but my point is that for the brownfield sites, yes, remove the planning restrictions. You know, yes, you still have to put in the planning. You can't just like buy a piece of land and go, yeah, okay, let's build 300 houses here. You know, you need to talk to the government infrastructure.
There has to be certain plans in place.
But I do agree that the red tape needs to be cut. And I think Boris wanted to do this while he was in power,
It's one of those policies. Everyone would love to do it. It's about speeding up planning.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of time at the moment. And, you know, councils, local authorities, it takes them ages to get stuff like that done.
So moving on then. Nigel also wants to reform social housing. Fair enough. But prioritising local people and not for overseas nationals.
Yes, so this is where the right of the policies come in.
The racist policy.
Not the racist policy, they're right wing. We can't call them racist because it's not discriminatory.
Well, it is.
It's not. It's what he's saying.
My opinion is that that is quite discriminatory.
So what he's saying is he wants to reform the social housing laws so that local people in the area who need a social home are prioritised over, say, an asylum seeker.
Okay.
Because, obviously, that is reform's big thing. It's about cutting immigration. They want to reduce it as much as possible, get it to net zero. So, focusing on who's already here and...
Yeah.
Prioritizing.
I mean, this goes back to immigration. This goes back to the immigration
Everything
episode.
In the reform contract, essentially, in some way, shape, or form, will go back to immigration because it is their key point.
Yeah. They also want to scrap 2019 landlord tax reforms to encourage landlords. Now, in my opinion, landlords need no fucking encouragement. They're bad enough as it is.
So, this is specifically Section 24.
Okay.
Or what's known as Section 24. It was introduced in 2019 and essentially it removed the right for landlords to deduct finance costs and mortgage income from their tax on rental income.
Okay. So this is like encouraging more people to be landlords tax break.
It's a tax break. And it's the reason that they're doing it is they're saying they want to encourage smaller landlords because, you know, those tax breaks to someone who owns just one property that they rent out and or they could obviously they probably own more, but they just rent one of their properties out. Incentivize them to do that. Because at the moment, people who have multiple properties, they're not renting them out because it costs sometimes just as much to rent out. Because if you think you've got your mortgage payment on it, and then if you need insurance,
well, the rent should cover that.
You need your insurances. You need to have your if you have estate agent fees, and like they're not getting cheaper. Estate agents aren't cheap.
We all
know
that.
Even when as a renter, estate agents used to be ridiculously expensive until the laws were changed.
And yeah,
you were paying
and
thousands in fees.
Just touching on that, I think that was the biggest con. Right, people that had already had to pay twice, first month's rent and deposit, you'd then get £200 of estate agency fees on top.
And then a £50 application fee. Then an application fee. £50 another fee.
Then a £15 credit check fee.
Yeah.
Check fee. Thing.
Yeah, and then a £50 inventory fee. And yeah. It just soon adds up. So you've then got another £500.
It costs you like £3,000 when the house is £500 rent. So you've paid nearly six times the rental value of the property just to move in.
The thing is, though...
That's just to move in for 30 days.
The thing is, though, and so we look at it and you think that, and now, with the laws that were brought in 2019 that removed those fees haven't just been abolished. They've been passed on to landlords instead. Landlords pay them now, essentially.
Good. Rightfully so.
So that's what Nigel is saying and Reform are saying. They want to incentivise people. So, you know, to make it a bit more attractive to actually rent out a property you own. Because at the moment, there's a lot of risk with it. You don't always know who you're renting out to.
Absolutely,
it can be
absolutely
trashed, and then you've got £100,000 or £10,000 bill to redo everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, my worry is that estate agents are going to jump on that and just start charging exorbitant. So, you know, people will start to be able to afford housing again, but they won't be able to afford the application fees again.
But that's not what he is wanting to remove. He wants to remove Section 24, which is to do with the financing and mortgage interest.
Nothing will stop him from going further.
No, of course it won't.
That's my only point.
Of course it won't. There's no legal repercussions if he doesn't do any of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Nigel is probably a landlord. He must own land. He must own property.
One would assume
that he does. So, again, benefits the back pocket of Mr. Farage also.
But that seems to be the moral of their whole contract. A bit of analysis recently shows that a lot of the policies will benefit the richer rather than the poorer. So,
Speaking of the richer, the Green Party want them to pay for everything.
Have you forgotten about the other parts for Reform?
Oh, there's another page!
Yeah. There's three little There's three little bullet points.
We'll do the Greens in a moment.
Yeah.
So, abolish the Renters Reform Bill. Boo!
So this is... Well, to be fair, it doesn't exist.
It does. It's not in. So are they expecting the Tories to get in, put it in, and then...
Yeah, well, maybe. But yeah, it's not a thing anymore. So they're just saying, we're not going to bring it back.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's a big fat no for the renters from Nige.
No, but what they will do is they'll boost monitoring, appeals and enforcement processes.
Okay. That's a good thing, because currently tenants, me being one of those, along with Sean... literally zero rights, basically.
No, like, he's not going to introduce any new rights.
Oh!
He's just going to make sure... He's just going to boost them.
Okay, can we get it?
I'm assuming that means put more resources into them so the processes are quicker. Because that seems to be...
So, basically, you get the answer of no faster.
Yeah, that seems brilliant to be the... That, there's no... In, there's no.
So, back to my earlier point of boo.
Yeah, there's nothing to say that they're going to introduce any new rights for anyone.
The next point, however, I do very much like. Incentivise the use of new construction technologies such as modular construction. Now, this is how McDonald's build all their restaurants, right? They use modular construction.
They do use modular construction. So, you can order... I used to work for McDonald's, and I was quite close to the way they run it.
Careful here.
No,
NDAs.
When you're looking to build a new McDonald's restaurant, you go to a catalogue.
Oh.
You order
an Argos catalogue for McDonald's?
Essentially, it's essentially like that. It's on your computer now, I'm assuming. But it's literally... And you go in there and you order a restaurant.
Wow. How backwards is that? Instead of ordering the food, you order the restaurant.
Yeah, because obviously you have to buy everything directly from McCopco.
Can I do that? If I pull over on the side of like the M6 and there isn't a McDonald's there, could I just order a McDonald's to be built so I could?
If you have a spare 5 mil lying about,
yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
I mean, if Labour get in, we're going to have all the tax. We're going to have all the free money in the world, aren't we? So
I remember the...
Because the Tories said that I'll be paying more tax under...
Labour.
But then Nigel Farage is going to give it to... Oh, still undecided.
Well, Nigel Farage is not going to be able to afford to pay for anything with some of their policies. But
yeah, that's true.
Borrowing, he does like to say...
Yeah, maybe that's why he wants everyone to have modular-built houses. They're cheaper.
They are cheaper, and that is exactly why he wants to invest in them. You know,
it's a good idea. America uses it a lot, right?
Yeah, they do, especially in tornado areas because they have to rebuild them so often.
Yeah, so it's quick to rebuild them,
yeah,
right?
Really quick and easy, cheap to get the bits in.
They'd just go over to Japan and be like, how do you make these buildings stand up during earthquakes? And the Japanese would just be like, guys, hold my beer. I got this. Swing over to the US, build them some decent homes.
The thing is, there's
that don't get blown away.
There's a difference between protecting your house from an earthquake, which the Americans have done quite well, because they're along the San Andreas Fault, for example. They have done that quite well. Tornadoes and hurricanes, very different matter. It's not the ground shaking, that's a hurricane.
It's not the ground shaking, it's a hurricane. Sean Taylor, 2024.
So, yeah. I don't think the Japanese really have an issue with hurricanes.
No?
More tsunamis, and they can't even protect themselves from that, so... Oh, yeah.
And finally, on reform, but love the modular construction, that's brilliant. New apprenticeships to increase supply of skilled workers to build homes. Now, I think this is something that every party promises. They love the new apprenticeships, but we never actually see them come to fruition. Now, it is worth noting at this point that the government do fund your further education. If you do it straight out of school, if you go into an apprenticeship, the government will pay for that. They did for me. So I'd like to see that continue if reform get in. And I think with, you know, new apprenticeships, they're probably something that they will continue doing. Sean's giving me a nod, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. Apprenticeships are something that, you know, already exist.
They do exist, yeah,
last
time
have
I checked.
Every single election, all the parties have said, we're gonna boost the apprenticeships. So soon we're going to have more apprenticeships than people in the country.
Hooray!
But all of the parties once again saying that they're going to boost apprenticeships. So
yeah,
it can't hurt the workforce, I suppose.
So both helping jobs and housing.
Exactly.
So the apprentices can build the homes and then live in them. It's a win-win.
Yeah, but they can't afford them.
All right, then.
There's one thing missing from the reform section, and that's support for first-time buyers.
I did know. I was just about to say there's a gaping black hole where there should be a Help to Buy scheme.
Yeah, so that's where they're sort of lacking. They seem to be focused more on people who already own property, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe that's their demographic. But yeah, that it seems to be more towards people or local people who need social homes.
Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, so that's their priority. But again,
I mean, a party so far to the right is reform. It's weird to see them talking about social housing at all.
Yeah, I know. I was quite shocked that... But then again, they're very...
They recognise that there is a need for that.
They're very vague on it.
Yeah.
And it's all about... literally. So, in their contract with the people, under reform social housing law, it's free. It's two sentences.
Yeah.
And one of them is foreign nationals must go to the back.
Oh, wow.
And that's it.
Wow, okay.
Well, so it doesn't... There's not a huge amount of information about how they're going to reform it.
Considering reform is in their title, you think they'd have a better idea. But there you go. Right, yeah. Moving swiftly on to the Green Party.
The Green Party.
So from a party that doesn't really want to spend much to a party that wants to spend everything. Sean, what you got for us?
So we're going from the far right to the far left.
That's a big old jump.
That is a big old jump. Well, they are coming straight in hot with 150,000 new social homes every year.
Okay.
And they're going to end the right to buy scheme.
End it. Ooh.
Dead. No more.
Okay. Interesting. Didn't expect the Greens to do that.
The reason for it is because they say the right to buy scheme is depleting the stock of social homes. Because obviously, once you've rented your social home for so long, you have the right to buy it.
Yeah, of course. Is it 40 years?
It used to be.
It's a long time, isn't it?
I think they reduced it slightly. I think it's around 30, 35 years.
Okay.
Now. But still a really long time. And they're saying that that's depleting the stock of social and council homes, which I do understand, because obviously every time that one's sold, that's one less that the council
But that's because we haven't been building enough.
Exactly, but... At the end of the day, that house was still housing that person who required social housing.
Yeah.
It doesn't anymore because they now own their house.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one. And I like the scheme because I do genuinely feel that, you know, even if you're in social housing, and are on a lower income, you should still have the right to buy your family home.
Yeah, you should still be able to buy a home. I totally agree with that.
So I liked the right to buy scheme. So it's
yeah. I didn't expect them to be getting rid of it. As you know, what are they going to do to replace that?
No.
No. Just no.
Just no.
No, just no. Computer just says no.
Computer says no.
Okay.
But I like the... I understand their reasons behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. It's to make sure that everybody has access to a house rather than... Yeah. They're focusing more on having access to housing rather than buying.
Yeah, because if someone, for example, say you've bought your social home and you live in it for 10 years after you've bought it and then you pass away, normally the council would rent that back out to someone else. I'm not being... horrible. That is the process. That's what they do. But when if you've bought it, they can't then rent that out. So no. I do understand their points.
Yeah. Rent controls. They also want to introduce these, Sean. This is a very American thing, isn't it?
It is a very American thing. Rent control. I don't really understand how it works.
Well, from my very vague understanding, it is effectively like, let's take New York for example. One of our favourite TV shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Right. So Jake's apartment was rent controlled because his grandmother lived there, and she paid a certain amount of rent on it.
Okay.
When she passed away, that went away. But yeah. Jake was allowed to still continue paying the same amount of rent.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
bought into the building and it went co-op.
Yeah, cooperative. Which
meant that rent control no longer applied. So my understanding is that New York, the city
American
of New York...
American housing law, though, is very complex.
It's a cobweb of... Yeah, it's mad.
If you want to understand a bit more about how it can be manipulated, the dirty money... documentary on Jared Kushner
is fantastic. It's yeah,
brilliant,
really good.
And it really explains how he manipulated that.
But yeah, it's my understanding is it's so that tycoons can't charge people that live in New
yeah.
York, that have lived in New York all their lives, exorbitant
$2,500 a month, like they charge for their some of their.
Yeah, I mean, there was an advert on Rightmove the other day here in the UK for an apartment in London, and it was literally a room in a living room in a house. So I put my teeth in, and I'll try saying that again. It was a living room in a house.
Yeah,
£1,000 a month.
Yeah. But that's London for you. That is London.
And shared toilet, shared bathroom, no access to a kitchen.
The thing is, so London...
£1,000 a month.
London is quite famously the most expensive city per square inch in the world.
So how much is... Like, I'd love to know how much an inch of London is worth.
Yeah, I don't know that figure off the top of my head, but I watched a documentary and it explained that London is the most expensive city per square inch because of the heritage... And the
there's a lot of history in London.
The architecture in that. It's not an overly developed city, so you don't get huge amount of space for your money, but you get a lot of history and a lot of heritage for it.
Okay, wow. So I've got a per meter squared, TW10 in Richmond, £7,689 per meter squared.
Jesus.
Whereas you've got Bromley by Bow, which is, I think, I'm not sure where that is in London, but is it North London? It's £447 per square metre. So if you think about our house, which is around about 75 square metres, including like the conservatory and the shed and stuff that's attached
right,
to the house,
yeah.
right? How much would our house be worth? Let's work this out live on. Talking Pollocks right now. It's not live, it's pre-recorded. You get it.
So that would be £576,675.
So our house would be worth £500,000.
So roughly £500,000 more than it's actually worth.
Wow. So, that's a huge tangent that we've gone off on there.
It is, yeah. I've completely lost where we were going. Oh, that was the right to buy scheme, but London and yeah. expensiveness.
So yeah.
Rent controls, that way we were.
Yeah, rent controls. So, but, yeah, a very American thing.
But when I say that it doesn't... When I don't understand how it's going to work, is they've said it's going to be a devolved power, so it's local authorities that decide, but they haven't said what the criteria is. They've just said if the rental market is unaffordable. So that needs to be detailed.
Yeah, there needs to be
detail on the guidance of how much the rent controls would be. They need to put some certainty to that.
Yeah, I see.
But other than that, It's a good idea. Again, it's one of those ethical policies.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of these, much like the next one, ending no vault evictions.
Yeah, again, this is completely removed. Section 21.
Good. Not much more to say on it, really.
No,
it's good.
It is good, yeah.
Introduce greener homes, guaranteeing to ensure safe, warm homes. Obviously, green policies with the Green Party, you were expecting this. This is going to be things like cavity wall insulation, loft insulation, solar panels, ground source heat pumps, double glazing, or even triple glazing in some cases.
Yeah.
And just investing, right?
Yeah, so this is about getting their fairer, greener homes.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, the Green Party also want to transform the planning system as well.
They do, yes, but again, so this is focused more on getting the right homes in the right places. So again, they're obviously, being the Green Party, focused on protecting the Green Belt.
Yep.
So again, they'll be focused obviously on protecting green spaces, but they will also put a responsibility into plan infrastructure, so doctors, schools.
See, this is what is missing from the planning system at the moment. When companies build these massive housing estates, take our old town where we used to live, Sean, for example. Thousands upon thousands of houses were added to this small town with cobbled streets.
Yeah.
The town now cannot cope with the amount of people in it. Both of the high schools are full.
Yeah.
The three doctors' surgeries are full. The massive Tesco supermarket that's there literally cannot cope with the amount of people that shop at it. They've had to expand it three times.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
There's a Lidl and an Aldi that have been built across the road from the Tesco. They've now got a McDonald's. It is expanding massively, but they've had no new doctors, no new nurseries, no new schools, no new high schools. New public services. Nothing.
And that's what the Green Party want to try and get away from, to be honest. They want to make sure that the local health, local transport links, other services in the area are bolstered to accommodate those houses.
My concern here is, like, let's take our old town again, perfect example. That town has a heritage railway line, okay? Now, if the Green Party do want to transform the planning system to ensure new developments come with access to these public services, my concern is that we'll lose heritage features like the railways, because that town, where we used to live, was desperate for a rail link to the nearest big city.
Yeah, but they're not talking about putting rail links in.
Oh, no, I know. What I'm saying is,
talking about, when they talk about transport, it'll be bus services. Or trams, potentially. We might see an insurgence of trams.
Good idea, good idea. But they need to think about how these links are going to work, because I can guarantee you now that the first thing to go would be the heritage railway lines.
Yeah.
And they would bring those back, because electric is greener, it's better, it's quicker.
Yeah, the second part of the transformation of their policy is they want to... So all new homes that would be built would have to meet a certain standard. Is it the passive house standard?
I mean, the housing at the moment has to reach a certain level of...
Yeah, so this is the pretty much the top level. It's called Passive House, PassiveHaus.
Okay.
And essentially...
Oh,
this,
it's like a passive house.
Yeah,
yes?
Essentially, okay. This says all new properties would have to have solar panels.
Okay.
Heat pumps.
Yeah. Which are pants, by the way.
This would be a requirement with the new planning laws.
Right, so this is the problem, because the heat pumps don't work properly.
So yeah, so it would be a requirement for all new house builders to include solar panels, heat pumps on all new homes. Where appropriate, two other points, they want to invest 29 extra billion pounds.
Okay, yet more spending.
Billion,
woo, spending!
Over 5 years, and they're saying that's for insulation.
Just that.
To get homes to EPC B.
Right, okay. Now, so just an example, the house that we live in is E.
Yeah.
Right? We've insulated the loft. It's still E.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
The construction of the house, it's going to cost more than 28 billion.
29 billion.
29. It's going to cost more than 29. Definitely going to cost more than 28. They think it's going to cost more than 28.
So
it's definitely going to cost more than 29 billion.
They're not going to insulate private homes. It's just not going to happen. The government doesn't have enough money for that. It's going to be focused on social homes at first, I'm assuming.
Even so...
Again, no detail about it.
It's going to cost more than that.
It's difficult to say fully.
That is massively underfunded, that
claim. But then... So that's obviously residential homes. They also then want to spend a further $4 billion over the 5 years...
Right.
...to insulate other buildings to a high standard.
Yeah, this is just spiralling out of control now.
It's very expensive.
As with everything with the Greens. Now, and they want to borrow money, they want to increase debt,
so
and
when
stuff
it
like
comes
that as well.
To, when it comes to when it comes to insulating other buildings, so I'm quite close to the EPC rating for my work building. We've done so much work, and we've got that to where we have to be legally, because we have to hit a C now. We have already been told that we would have to make... The investment that we would have to make to get it to a B is not viable. We've already been told that by the Environment Agency and external advisors.
Really?
Because the
cost... What would you have to do?
So, because of the size... Obviously, we're talking a much larger building. It's not just a house. It's a massive office block.
Yeah.
So, heat pumps, we'd have to have multiple. We'd have to remove... So, we've got gas systems that we'd have to rip out and replace. There are the heat pump solutions we would have to... There's nothing we could do to the data centre, so we would have to separate that.
Wow.
Because there's nothing more we can do to improve that. That's got the top of the range equipment in it. And stuff like that. So, but they're going to have to keep those exceptions in place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, it's just expensive. It's super expensive.
So what they say, that you'd have to knock the building down and start again. It's more viable to do that.
They're just saying it's not viable. They don't give us alternative options. They've said we've explored all the options and none of them are viable.
So I think the Green Party have underfunded that pledge, if I'm honest. I think it's going to cost... Having worked in the trade, having seen the condition of a lot of the houses up and down the country... Yeah.
It's you need a lot of money to do it. And I don't know if that's going to be enough.
No, it's not. Right. Speaking of not really having enough, Lib Dems.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'm going to let you do this one because I was leaning Lib Dem. As people know, I'm an undecided voter. I was leaning towards him after seeing Ed Davey on the telly the other night. However, after reading Sean's notes on this, not impressed. Sean, hit me.
So, first things first, I'm not a Lib Dem. Just going to point that out. I'm impartial.
Yeah.
They want to increase new build homes to 380,000 per year. They are promising the highest number ever.
Right. First point, no way they can fulfil that promise.
No, we can't hit the current targets, so...
We can't hit the current targets with the resources that we have. You can't increase the resources that much to make that much difference over 5 years. That ain't happening.
Yeah, but of that 380,000, a minimum would be of 150,000 would be social homes. So matching the Greens on the 150,000 a year... extra social.
And I feel like that's only been put in there to match the Greens.
The Lib Dems came out first, so...
Or the Greens... Oh, sorry. My bad. Let me try again. I feel like the Greens have only put that in there to match the Lib Dems.
Potentially. But yeah, so it's a very high number, and looking at the historic figures, it is reachable. It is possible to get there. But the investment would be
massive.
Astronomical.
Yeah. I don't like the next one either. Immediately banning no-vote evictions. We know that one. That's fine.
That's good, yeah.
Making three-year tenancies the default. I don't like that.
Yeah, so this would... At the moment, six-month short-hold tenancies
is
the
default.
Because that gives flexibility to both landlords and tenants.
I think a year should be the minimum,
You can obviously agree to sign a longer term.
Yeah, which we often do.
The default is 6 months, but they want to extend that, obviously, to 36 months.
That's a long... Because... And the problem is, if you break your tenancy agreement, normally you get charged however much rent is remaining
on that tenancy. Period. Yeah.
So, just as an example, let me... because I'm absolutely crap at maths, chat.
But yeah.
Chat, we're not streaming, everyone.
But yeah, so that make them the default. And then while you're doing whatever you're doing, they also want to create a national register of licensed landlords.
Yeah. So, I've done some maths.
Right.
Say we had 18 months left on a tenancy.
Yeah.
We would have to pay £9,000 if our rent was £500 a month.
Yeah.
Just
and
to
no
get out of the tenancy.
No one's rent is £500 a month.
Well, you know, some people are still tied in to longer tenancies.
So that would be... I do understand their reason behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they want to give security to people.
Yeah, the National Register of Landlords is pointless, isn't it? It's pointless.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea in principle, but no one will sign up to it.
I don't know if
it
would work.
it's not going to be like law that you have to, like the gas safe. It's going to be like the gas safe register.
It'd be unenforceable is the problem.
Yeah, just like the TV license.
Mainly because, you know, you can't, it's not always obvious who owns a property.
Giving local authorities the powers to end right to buy in the area, however.
Yeah, so this is sort of similar to the Greens. Obviously, they want to immediately end it for everyone, dead, nothing.
Yeah.
The Lib Dems are saying, we like the policy, we like the right to buy. However, we do feel in certain areas that there is a shortage of social homes more than other areas. So we'll give it to the local authorities to decide whether or not that they keep it in place.
Yep. I agree with that. That's a good idea.
I think most of them will obviously revoke it.
Yep.
But
I like that.
I genuinely believe most of them will revoke it to try and bolster their stocks, but it devolves that power. It passes the buck.
Yeah. Ending rough sleeping by the end of the next parliament, not something that's going to be achievable, unfortunately.
This is a big, bold statement.
With all the greatest goodwill in the world, it's not something that can be sorted in 5 years.
No.
There's a reason why these people have ended up on the streets in the first place, and unless you solve those core fundamental issues, like the drugs and the crime and the guns and the stabbings and everything else that comes with usually the centre of London, inside the M25, am I right?
Or Birmingham. Yeah.
And until you fix those issues, rough sleeping is always going to be a problem. Now, you can build as many houses as you want. People won't move into them.
Yeah. So they have...
Some people have lived on the streets their whole lives. You have to fix the rough sleep, what caused them to be there in the first place. There's a reason they're out there.
Exactly. And they have given a little...
You can't just say, right, here you go, have a house, bye. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know how to pay council tax and set up a water bill.
No, I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
So they have given...
They need support all the way through. There's a bigger cost in this.
They have given a bit of information about this.
Okay.
So the first thing they want to do is remove the Vagrancy Act, the Homelessness and Vagrancy Act, which has made it illegal for homeless people to sleep in doorways.
They want to end rough sleeping by making it easier for them to sleep rough.
Yeah, but brilliant. then they've given some more details. So they want to publish a plan.
Okay.
So that's first point. Publish plan.
Okay.
Point two, exempt homeless people from the shared accommodation rate. I don't particularly know what that is.
Hmm.
We'll have to do a bit more digging on that. I'm not too sure, but
yes, we'll do a little bit of research on that, and we'll get back to you.
They also want to introduce a somewhere safe to stay legal duty on local authorities. So anyone who is at risk of rough sleeping, the local authority has to present or provide emergency accommodations and assessments for their needs. And then finally, extra financial resources for local authorities for domestic abuse survivors.
Okay.
Or victims.
It looks like they've covered a few points, but again, the cause of the rough sleeping needs to be addressed as well.
Definitely. That would be,
I'm assuming, you know, the council are going to give them some sort of counselling or, you know, some sort of support there, like you mentioned. And that's obviously going to help with that.
It says the assessment of their needs. So I would assume that would, if there's a drug issue, they would assess that need.
Yeah.
If there's an alcohol issue, they'd assess that need, so on and so forth. So
this is something that you're going to know a little bit more about, Sean. Abolishing residential leaseholds and cap ground rents to a nominal fee.
Yeah, so it's property law in the United Kingdom sucks.
And you would know because you've recently been studying it.
I hate it. It's awful. It's the worst. So you can own a property, but not the land beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to. So that is a leasehold. If you own the land beneath it, it's a freehold. You freely hold both parts. If it's a leasehold, you pay a rent. Essentially, you're renting the land.
Yeah.
At the moment, there is guidance, but they can be exorbitant
things. Really?
Or there are ways of doing it where you manipulate it. So you don't charge it as a rent, you charge it as a service fee.
Okay.
For the land, which is bullshit.
They're
doing nothing. All it is a rent for the land. Like, they're not providing you a service,
yeah,
but they put it across as a service charge. That's how they get away with it. Wow. So they want to. So they would say that no residential properties can be leasehold.
Makes sense.
However, a point to that is flat blocks of flats.
Yeah.
The building is usually owned by someone.
Yeah.
And then the individual flats are then purchased by someone else. So you then have to pay a service charge to the block of flats. So that powers the communal lights or does all the communal stuff.
Yeah, pays for the lift maintenance, that kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. So there are reasons that residential leaseholds are sort of understandably in place.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they want to cap ground rent to a nominal fee. So that
makes sense. That makes
obviously
sense.
That's for their non-residential properties. So pubs, yeah. A lot of pubs are leasehold.
Yeah, a lot of the pubs in the UK still are, aren't they?
Yeah,
Is this how, because was it Green King? Didn't they have an issue with it at some point?
Yeah, a lot of the pub chains have had issues with their leaseholds, but you can extend them now. I think you can extend them for like 990 years. some of the original ones were 999 years long.
Wow.
And you've still got them going today, and if you go to buy a pub, check how long's left on the leasehold, because at the moment you'd be talking around 270 years.
That's a long fucking time. That is a long time. Imagine how many elections we'll have to cover between then and now.
I know. Can you imagine? We'll be dead before that leasehold ends.
We're sweating, but we're carrying on.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah, Lib Dems, I was expecting a bit more meat on this bone, as Sean would say.
Yeah, there's only one final point that we... So the Reform Party, no real help for first-time buyers. Same with the Green Party. Reform, no specific help for first-time buyers. However...
Do you mean the Lib Dems?
The Lib Dems.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to help people who can't afford a deposit by introducing a new rent-to-own model for social housing. But it's a new model...
So it doesn't help me and you.
And essentially,
brilliant.
The longer
right.
you pay
Lib
rent...
Lib Dems, you're not getting my vote. Screw you.
Essentially, the longer you pay rent, the larger your stake in that property is. Up to 30 years. Once you've paid rent for 30 years, you own 100% of that property.
Oh, right, okay. I mean, it's like another mortgage, isn't it?
As someone who deals with law, and as you said, recently done property law, my question there... is, okay, so if that person then moves out and someone else moves in and say they've been paying for 10% of the property value.
Yeah, say they took in like a housemate.
Do they? Well, no. So say they've been paying their rent and they now own 10% in this house.
Yeah.
They move out and someone else moves in. Can they charge a 10% rent?
Ooh, good point.
And the council get 90%? Because they own a 10% stake in that property,
I'm
so
sure
they're
it
legally
would be,
entitled.
I'm sure it will be. You will not own a stake in the property unless you pay 100, unless you reach 100%.
Yeah,
it?
There would need to be something like that because it's very open for manipulation.
So clarity required from the Lib Dems.
Yeah, because I'd move into social homes for 10 weeks and start charging 5% rent on all of them.
The two big ones now, red or blue.
Let's start with blue, because we can rattle through these pretty quickly.
We can. So, the first one I've never heard of, so you're going to have to explain this to me. So, the Tories up next, abolishing the EU nutrient neutrality rules to allow an additional 100,000 homes to be built each year.
So
WTF is that shit.
So, do you remember during the Brexit campaign, they said, we'll be able to cut EU red tape on the planning system?
Yeah.
So this is one of those EU red tapes. So at the moment, as part of the planning process, you have to take into account nutrient neutrality.
Okay.
If you want to understand what that is, then you will need to Google it fully.
Okay.
But essentially, it's not making an impact on the nutrients of the area.
Yeah.
It's
not having a detrimental impact to the environment, basically.
Not the environment, because nutrient can be...
What do you mean, like, building, like, you know, a really modern village in a really old village?
Yeah. So
a really modern building in a really old village.
Yeah.
Doesn't really fit in with the village's rustic aesthetic, does it?
Exactly. It's not nutrient as in, like, vitamins.
Vitamin D.
Stuff like that. It's like...
Which isn't a nutrient, it's a vitamin.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's
Sean didn't do so well in biology.
I didn't. I'm not a scientist. my hair would tell you differently. But yeah, so that allows them to build an additional 100,000 homes by speeding up planning and removing that step.
Okay.
Which then leads on to them being able to deliver their record number of homes of 1.6 million across the parliament.
So 1.6 million across the parliament. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a deliver a record number of homes each year, which is 1.6 million across the parliament.
Okay.
Which works out at about 325,000 a year.
Okay. A couple of quick ones. Raising density levels of inner London to match those of European cities. Yes, that's what we need to do. Make London busier.
Yeah, let's brilliant. Pack it with more people.
New urban regeneration schemes. Good idea. Where?
Obviously, they haven't given where at the moment.
Brilliant.
They have stated... They have said they've already named 30 towns, I believe, that would get £20 million.
Oh, yes, that's
and,
right.
And certain things like that. But obviously, this would be a programme that would go over the course of Parliament, and there would be rounds of funding.
Good.
So it's about regenerating those areas that are already there.
Yeah, and then moving on from that, utilising new infrastructure levies to deliver GP surgeries, roads, and other local infrastructure. Now, this actually touches on what the Green Party wanted to do as well, doesn't it? Slightly. Well,
kind of.
I feel, what? That's his disagreement, quandary. Grimace. That's the word I was looking for.
So, the Greens wanted to move more, introduce that into the planning system. The Tories want to introduce a charge.
Ooh.
To probably the developers.
Makes sense. They're making the most.
Exactly. So, they'll charge the developers this levy.
Yeah.
To fund the building of new GP surgeries, roads.
Good,
other infrastructure.
If they want to build all the houses and sell all the homes, they should be able to provide a GP surgery.
It's
and
a capitalist approach to what the Greens wanted to do.
Yeah, it's very capitalist approach. I like that.
Exactly.
New affordable homes scheme.
Yeah, so this is a scheme that would make homes. This new affordable homes one isn't. This is more about delivering homes of all tenure is what they call it. So this is
you're going to have to explain.
This is building studio flats, one-bedroom flats, two-bedroom flats, bungalows, a wide range of types of properties. You know,
right,
not just building four-bedroom mansion, four-bedroom houses and six-bedroom mansions that nobody can afford. It's about saying, well, if you're going to build houses, you're going to need to build
ones that people can buy,
houses that people actually need and want and can afford.
Yeah.
A house, you know, a two-bedroom... start building three-bedroom terraces again.
Yeah.
Rather than four-bedroom semi-detached everywhere.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. Again, right houses in the right place.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But the new affordable home scheme, so that's for the actual housing. The new Help to Buy scheme is to help people buy the houses.
Yeah, so this is...
Now that we've built them and it's affordable... how are we going to be helped to buy them?
So this is obviously reducing, so this is a government-backed 5% deposit, so you can put a 5% deposit down as a mortgage rather than having to save up, you know, the usual 20%.
Yeah.
You can just save up 5% and the government, it's a government guarantee that you, that won't affect your chances.
Oh, great.
Just having that 5%.
Okay.
It's similar to the current Help to Buy scheme.
Yeah. Not really enough, if I'm honest. We
but it
need
does,
more.
It does help people. And again, it's about that government guarantee of your chances aren't going to be affected just because you haven't saved up 20% of the mortgage. You know, it is about trying to give that support. They have also abolished stamp duty for...
Yeah. On homes up to 425k for first-time buyers. Who, in their right mind, as a first-time buyer, is spending nearly £500,000 on a house?
So, you say that. So, I was in the car earlier, and I was listening to BBC Radio 2. Other radio stations are available. And there was they had a property expert on there, and recent statistics that came out this week, which is Monday, so came out today, there's the average first-time property cost is £276,000.
That's crazy.
First-time property.
I saw an interesting statistic today. Our region, where we live in the UK, has seen the biggest increase in house prices since 2019 at 33%.
Oh, wow.
London, would you like to know how much house prices have gone up in London?
2%.
6%.
It's not bad.
Compared to 33% here in the north.
But do you know why that is? Because properties up in the north are so much cheaper than properties in London.
Yes, but we've seen the biggest increase in anywhere in the UK even more than the Northeast, which traditionally is a hell of a lot cheaper here.
It's cheaper to live, but here. Property prices not so much.
No?
No, no. You'd be surprised.
Really?
You'd be surprised. Around Manchester are some of the cheapest properties in the country. Apart from Scotland, they've got the cheapest properties.
Well, not so much anymore, because the price has gone up by 33%. Yeah. This obviously isn't rent, this is house prices.
Prices.
To buy.
But yeah, so... but yeah, and I was quite shocked. The average mortgage payment for a first-time buyer at the moment is £1,075 per month.
See, this is the thing. It's for us, then, if that is how much a mortgage is going to cost us...
But obviously, that's going off the average house price being £276,000.
Yeah, but if me and you were to buy a house at that, our mortgage payment would be unaffordable.
Yes, but I'm not going...
It makes sense
we're
for
not
us
going
to rent.
We're not going to buy a house at just over £250,000.
Well, we might.
Not yet. Not for a first-time property. I genuinely don't believe that we would.
Yeah.
But then again, you've got to take that into account. You could be buying your first house in London. If your daddy's a millionaire and you're buying a house in London as your first house,
yeah,
it's not a big problem. You don't have to worry about that. But that extends the average.
Cool. I mean, it's there, but... But I was speaking about it being cheaper to rent at the moment. The Renters Reform Bill. She's back, baby!
Yeah, the Tories have promised to bring it back. So they would introduce, obviously... that.
We all know what it's about. It's been in the House for months. Yeah. It didn't make it through the wash-up.
No,
here
lots
we
of
are.
Protections and a little bit watered-down protections in certain areas, but still more protections for renters, which is more than I've seen from the others
and
at this point.
Finally, which is the first I've seen of this, allowing local authorities to restrict second homes and holiday lets. This is the Airbnb craze,
this
right?
This is very much the Airbnb craze. So you see across Europe, cities and towns in Europe that are very popular with tourists and that, they're banning Airbnbs and tourist homes and stuff like that, and it's basically doing the same in the UK.
There are certain places in the UK where local people can't rent or you know, Whitby,
yeah,
there are northeast,
you know,
being one
Cornwall
of
and Dorset,
Cornwall, yeah,
they're getting more and more expensive as well,
yeah, and even some in a inland towns and cities are seeing the problem. I think I saw a report Bath
is quite expensive. Bath is historically expensive to buy a property in, though, because of the properties in Bath are extravagant. The architecture there,
very Roman, right?
Roman.
Yeah.
So you've got the I can't remember what it's called, but it's the curved, the sort of the horseshoe of properties, and that it's a very famous street.
Yeah.
In Bath, and you know, houses like that, they are going to be expensive.
Of course, yeah.
But then again, if you're buying them and then just renting them out to holiday people, then they're going to get even more expensive for local people who then want to buy them.
Yeah. So, the Tories, naturally taking a capitalist approach. Let's switch over to the red corner. Sakia, what you got for us?
Well, not too much difference. Although, he's really pushing the change.
Shocker.
I know. He really wants change. So, again... it being one of the big three parties, we've got this arbitrary number, 1.5 million homes across the parliament.
That's not going to happen.
300,000 a year.
As Donald Trump would say, that is fake news.
It is fake news. They're all fake news. All of the targets that the parties have set, they're all fake news. But again, it's burst it straight in there with planning reform.
Yeah, and noticeably 0.1 of a million lower than the Tories pledge.
Yeah, the Tories did come in at 0.1 million homes extra over Parliament.
They did. So how are we going to build those homes? Update the National Policy Planning Framework, including restore the mandatory housing targets. Yeah. So the mandatory housing targets were abolished when? I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're going to bring those back to basically say we need to build this many houses each year.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's all well and good introducing a legal mandatory level. Hitting that level is a completely different kettle of fish.
Yes. You need the money to do it. Money, however, is also being used to fund additional planning officers. Increased stamp duty to non-UK residents as well.
Yeah, So they're going to increase stamp duty on non-UK residents. So if you don't live here already and you want to buy a house here, you're going to have to pay extra stamp duty.
Okay.
And that the money that that raises is going to fund additional planning officers.
Okay.
There's a bit of disparity between the numbers, but you know, they are estimates.
Do you know, there often isn't a manifesto.
Yeah. These are estimates, so, you know, they take figures with a pinch of salt whenever they mention them.
But remember, Sean, they're all fully costed.
Yeah, apart from, unless you ask, who is it? Oh, yeah, the Institute for Fiscal Studies. But
yeah, interesting report today.
What do they know?
We'll touch on that at the end, Sean.
Yeah, but what do they know, eh?
So, prioritising brownfield sites and using strategic approaches to greenbelt land designation.
Yes, so this is where the controversy for Labour has really poked its head up. This has probably been their biggest controversial point throughout the campaign.
Right.
And one of their... it was an unnamed source, because obviously the media didn't want it out their source.
Yeah.
But one of... an unnamed Labour source said that they were happy to concrete over the green belt.
Oh my god.
And that is where the controversy there has come from, because as we have noticed, one thing that all the parties can agree on, the Green Belt needs protecting.
Apart from Labour, it seems.
Apart from Labour, who said, we will look at it strategically and decide on an area-by-area basis whether or not the Green Belt can stay,
but
or
could
whether
that,
we can develop on it.
But could that, you know, there's housing estates up and down the country that have just sat there in ruins, one of which is in Grimsby and Cleethorpes, for example.
Yeah.
Is there a case of, right, okay, we need to take some of the green belt from here, but can we demolish that and restore the land in Grimsby to make a new green
space? The thing
is,
so with the green belt that we currently have, it's a very lively ecosystem, as we know it, in case
of course, yeah, we have
the lake district,
yeah,
and all of the lakes and everything like that. So concreting over any well-established ecosystem, it's going to cause environmental issues.
Of course, yeah. Doesn't matter where you build a house.
Even if you then have a new green space somewhere else, you've still destroyed habitat for, you know, quite a lively ecosystem. Whereas brownfield sites are less likely to have those ecosystems because they're the type of land that they are, and they're, obviously that's why we've designated them.
But we've obviously got an issue of resource and location.
The thing is, we've got
plenty. If Labour have recognised that and have said, look, we might need to look at some green spaces, I don't think I'd necessarily be averse to that if they're being built in the right places. And, you know, we do everything that we can to ensure that the wildlife and the ecosystem in that area is not damaged beyond... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do understand.
As horrible as it is to say, unfortunately, we as humans, we've got to take fucking priority because we live on the planet.
But
we're top of the food chain.
The thing is, at the moment, we have a lot of poorly used land.
Exactly.
And that's what we need to be prioritizing. And that's why we've got brownfield sites. You know, a lot of brownfield sites are sites that have been used in the past for something that's potentially been knocked down, and it's just then an empty space.
Yeah.
Like an empty construction area. So we need to be making sure that we are using those. It's all well and good prioritizing them. No, they need to be used first.
Yeah. But they, you know, they've said they want to prioritise them. But again, yeah, like I said, I don't think I'd necessarily be adverse to that.
My question, I am opposed to going completely over the green belt.
Yeah.
And my concern is, as that source said,
if they do it once,
happy to concrete over the entire green belt. Like, that is a concern because you can't get rid of the whole thing.
No, of course.
Okay.
Not.
Little dots here and there, little snippets maybe out of the area, but nothing huge.
So, speaking of growing houses, not like growing a plant pot, like housing market growth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Labour want to give the combined authorities basically to tell them, look, you need to strategically plan for housing growth. So this is going to be things like infrastructure in the town and access to schools
So this is about looking at combined authorities. So Greater Manchester, the combined authority of West Yorkshire, and obviously their areas, their counties that take into account several different councils, and you then have a mayor that oversees them.
Yeah.
It will put a responsibility on them to strategically plan what they authorise in their planning. So instead of, say, letting one area get ridiculously out of control and no building over the other side of the area, make sure that it is spread evenly.
Yeah. So everyone's got access to the same resources, the same services, and it's fair.
Yeah, that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. Reform the compulsory purchase compensation rules. I don't know too much about this, Sean. So this
is if the government is doing a new infrastructure project and your house is in the way. And so we're building a new train line and it goes straight through where your house
is. Oh, so this was in the news a couple of years ago with HS2, wasn't it?
So there is a law that says you have to sell your house to the government.
Yeah.
Because we need that land to put this infrastructure project in. You don't have
a choice. And generally, it is much lower than the actual value of the property or the land.
Yeah, and there is a guidelines for how much you would get. They don't buy it from you. You get compensation. They take the land and you get compensated. And they want to increase the amounts, essentially.
To bring them in line with what they're actually worth,
yeah,
I assume.
I think it's a good idea. There was a lot of, after HS2, there was a lot of uproar about the value that the government was putting on these houses.
Because they were valuing like £350,000 houses at like 75 grand.
Exactly. But that is because it's from like the current scheme is from like 1986.
Yeah.
So that's what houses were worth back then.
So, of course, the current government doesn't want to change it while they're building HS2. Saved them hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Exactly. But so Labour want to bring those in line with probably... Well, they want to reform them. They haven't said what they want to bring them in line with.
Yeah, I think they do need some reform. If they were done in the 80s, fair enough that they work, but they're not working for the people.
I'm sure they have been amended since 1986, but that was when the law was passed.
Okay. So, moving on then... prioritise the building of new social homes with increased rights to buy discounts. So they want to keep the right to buy.
Yeah, and
increase it.
Increase it. Like, give you extra discount. Yeah. You know, when you hit that period for paying rent and you get the settlement offer for buying the house, obviously your house will be cheaper.
Yeah, but not only that, they want to do a new comprehensive mortgage guarantee scheme to support first-time buyers. So great for me and you. So not only are they going to make sure that they're building new social homes with increased right to buy... They're trying to write the picture of everyone can own a home.
It is.
It's not hard.
It's a good policy. This. It's so essentially, this is a government guarantee on a mortgage.
Yeah, like a guarantor, right?
Yeah, that's how it's worded.
Yeah.
In play, I'm sure that they would. It would be done slightly differently because if you do it as the government is the guarantor, that leaves it up to so much manipulation that, the government's going to pay if I don't.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what a guarantor is currently.
Yeah, but that is not what the purpose of this scheme is. You will still have to pay your mortgage.
Obviously, if you didn't pay and the government did step in and pay, the government would be chasing you for money. And that's a lot worse than a bank chasing you for
money. Exactly, because the government has a lot more options. They can do a detachment of earnings. They can reduce your tax allowance.
They can arrest you.
There's many, many things that the government can do. So my concern with this is that it's going to be used by people that don't need to use it. Like you were saying, that is with... lots and lots of money.
Again, yeah.
This is my concern. It's for people like you and me. It's going to help you and me. It's going to be abused by people that just don't need to use it so they can save a few quid.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why they have to make sure that there are safeguards in place. We all know that the law has so many loopholes in.
Yeah.
Because
the law is open to interpretation.
That
is what the law is.
It is
people
also...
forget that sometimes. It is not a black line. No. It is a very grey blob.
Funny fact is also that the law is written by human beings. And what do human beings do?
Make mistakes.
Exactly. So it's flipping easy to make a mistake. Exactly. I've made mistakes and I've published stuff and sent stuff out that's had mistakes in it.
Mm.
But, you know, you read it and you go, oh, that's a mistake. Okay, well, whatever. It happens.
Mm. So, Labour go in pretty hard on the owning homes, building homes.
Which is a shock.
And a lot of reform.
It's a shock because, you know, owning a home is a bit more conservative territory. Labour has always been the more socialist.
I think with all the uproar in the rental market in the last few years, people have sought security in home ownership, and they haven't been able to do that under the current government.
Yeah. This being said, it does none of them address the problem around unaffordable mortgages.
Yep.
That being said, that is also partly out of the government's control.
Yes, but Rishi Sunak did admit today at a debate for The Sun, I believe.
Oh, yes.
That he's no stranger to the fact that he knows that he got his job due to a mistake. And that mistake was Liz Truss.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why everyone's mortgages are so
high. The thing is, and that's the thing, he will admit that. It's not going to go in his favour. Of course it's not.
Of course it's not.
And I think if you look back in history at governments that have had long tenures, so Labour, 97 to 2009,
yep.
They lost their election after 13 years in power.
There's a running theme here.
You know, spend a long time in power, you of course going to have pissed people off.
Yep.
You're not going to have made people happy. And the Conservatives have, especially in the last 5 years...
They've won 4 elections as the incumbents.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good going for an incumbent government.
But in 5 years, they have had more missteps than they could afford.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, sorry, 3 elections as the incumbent government. 15, Cameron was elected the first time.
So 2015, from Labour. 2017, 2019, yeah.
Yes, three.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be a 4th.
The thing is, we're looking at all these polls and that are coming out.
Yes, we were going to touch on something at the end, but I've forgotten. So yeah, we were going to touch on something at the end, but I've forgotten what it is. So if we remember, I will add it in as a little tidbit at the end. How about that, Sean?
Yes, that sounds banging.
Oh yeah, I've remembered. The IFS report.
Yes. So the IFS today released, they've done a bit of a press conference, released a report at the same time. Essentially, the headline of it is that the 3 major parties in their manifestos are not telling us the whole truth.
They're lying to us.
They are bending the truth
to fit their own needs.
To fit their narratives.
Yeah.
They have said that there's going to need to either be tax rises, which the parties have limited themselves on, the Conservatives more than Labour. Or there's going to have to be cuts to unprotected spending.
Great.
So that's where housing comes into it, because housing is one of those areas, such as well as welfare and a few other areas of government spending, that are unprotected.
Yeah.
So they can say all year long that they're going to put all this investment in. Housing is going to be one of those areas that potentially faces cuts.
Yeah.
So these promises might not
come to
fruition.
Yep. I mean, look, when you're reading these manifestos, they might say that they're fully costed. Take it with a pinch of salt.
No, definitely.
Read between the lines.
Definitely. And you know, the IFS, it's a very trusted source.
Yeah, the government use it.
The government use their figures all the time.
So they can't exactly come out now and say, wouldn't trust what they're saying.
Wouldn't trust what they're saying. However, everything is open to interpretation. This is their interpretation of the figures. All of the parties dispute this and say our figures are correct and they are fully costed and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell. I would trust the IFS potentially more because they do this daily, whereas the government is obviously a bit more
bored. Yeah. All right. Well, it is currently 658,000 degrees in this room. So
it is, yes.
We're going to have to call it there.
My skin has turned to liquid.
I'm going to be putting you to bed in an urn tonight.
I'd get a Tuperware container first.
Yes, yeah, a sealable lid.
I've melted.
So. Yeah, no, makes sense. That's what happens to witches when it gets hot.
That's what happens to witches when they get covered in water.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Oh, it's hot. Just in case you didn't know, it's hot. And Keir Starmer's dad is a toolmaker.
And his mum's a nurse.
Right. We will see you next time. Sean,
we will
indeed.
Which
one are we doing next?
We are going to do... we're coming... We've only got a couple of choices left. I think next, maybe the economy?
Economy?
We've got 3 left.
All right. 3 episodes left.
3 episodes left.
Hopefully this helps you understand a little bit more about the housing. We'll see you next time. Love you all.
Love you all.
Goodbye.
Bye.